You can't go home again. Novelist Tom Wolfe said that. The school doors that seem so big and shut so loudly to your 8-year-old eyes are now just normal doors, a little small, a little worn. That enormous yard where you played games and tossed balls and ran for days and days is crossed in a few adult steps. Maybe you've gone back to the house where you lived as a child. The walls are different colors now, and the siding has been replaced. Maybe the people who live there remind you of who you once were. Or maybe they are a different color or speak in another language. Maybe your parents are still there, or a sibling has moved in. But you are not the same, and you see now with different eyes. Things change. Wolf wasn't wrong. But he wasn't entirely right either. The prodigal son in today's reading was just a guy, an ordinary human being. He was every guy who ever swore he had to get out of a town too small, or too conservative, or too liberal. Every girl who ever said she had to see something different before she just lost her mind. He was every person who needed to move and grow and make changes, to screw up and clean up and do something new. Just a person who wanted to be free to do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. Free from the judgment and value of his family, free from obligation of living in someone else's home. Sounds like a college student, doesn't it? Ready to try their wings, but still needing a little help with tuition. Now, the story from the Bible made it clear that this kid was bad news. He asked for his inheritance while his dad was still alive, which was sort of the equivalent of saying, "Look, could you drop dead already?" That's a mean thing in ancient Jewish culture. But rather than swat him upside the head, his father hugged him. Rather than take the rudeness to heart, he gave him the money. And the kid headed out, and he screwed it up. Like any teenager, he couldn't look forward and plan for when the money ran out. He had a heck of a great time until famine hit the land. And then he had to go clean up after pigs, something a Jew would have been horrified by. And then the food ran out, and then he had to steal from the same pigs. And even in his desperation, he thinks that he can't go home again, at least not as he was. So he decides to go back to that physical place as a hired servant, almost a slave. He doesn't expect love. And on the way, he rehearses over and over in his head how he will say this to his father, how he will make his father realize he doesn't expect love anymore. He wants to plead that he's made a mess of everything. It isn't worthy. Just let me work for you so I can live. Most of us didn't leave our homes with this level of brokenness, though some of us may have. But we all left home, as this young man did, carrying things we didn't earn. Our privileges. Our skin color, maybe. Our name, maybe. Our sound body. Our class, our wealth, our education, our perceived culture. Maybe some of these things, maybe none of these things. We left with these things in our bag and we went out into the world And some of us did well. Some of us maintained lovely relationships with our families of origin, with our roots. We made peace. And some of us stumbled and we fell again and again and again. But we've all made the younger son's journey. We've all left home, mentally or physically. When a moment of homesickness for my grandmother's pot roast hits me, I can go home again pretty easily. I can pull out that recipe and I can make it in the pan she left for me. And the taste is almost the same. And what's more, I don't have any issues around the pot roast. I feel pretty okay with saying, "Darn, Granny, you did a great job." And wow, I'm glad I get to do the same. If I want to re-experience the awe that I felt the first time I went camping in the mountains of Kentucky, well, those mountains and even that campsite are still there and still pretty darn awesome. If I want to get really picky, I can bug my dad and I can even use the same tent. And I don't have any issues about that, and neither does anybody else. How great. You learn to camp. Marvelous. Who cares? But what do I do when I get homesick for a piece of the religion that I was raised on? What do I do when I get homesick for that home? How often is it that then I'm suddenly not good enough? Can I be the hired help instead? So what do I mean by that? I mean that many of us in UU churches have moved away from the faith that we were raised in. And yet, there are still moments, pieces of those experiences that have great worth for us, even though they may not work for us theologically anymore, they may not work real practically, they may not fit with who we are today, but they are still moments we long for and simultaneously reject as somehow not appropriate because we left home. And we look for ways to go back, but as a servant instead. This past summer, a UU minister newly serving in New England reached out to a group of other ministers on chat lists and Facebook and in real life because she had a situation she had never faced before, not in all the years she had been in ministry. A congregant had joined the church as a new UU. And after a year, they felt they needed deeper ritual around the change they had made in their life. They felt that they had indeed been born again through UUism. And they wanted to honor a ritual from their childhood. They wanted a full immersion baptism done in a local river. And if you want to see some kerfluffle, watch a group of Unitarian ministers confronted by that. There was a lot of discussion. Someone said, "We just don't do that." Somebody else said, "Well, it's cultural appropriation." Somebody asked, "Well, what would be the point?" And eventually a quiet voice said, "Why not? Why don't we do this?" They want it. They're attaching a specific meaning to it. Why not? Are we scared of what it might look like that someone else won't understand the metaphor? They weren't getting dunked in the Holy Spirit. They weren't being born again as a Pentecostal. They had a specific ritual. And it unnerved a group of 56 ministers so badly that they got discussed for 4 days. Until someone said, "Why not?" And when no one could really answer that question, the minister in question wrote a service. And on a warm day this past July, offered immersion baptism at the river for anyone who wanted to do it. And shockingly for all of us, she had 9 people take the plunge. Because you see, the story of a prodigal son is more than just the story of someone who wants to go home. It's also the story of his father, who's always there, who's waiting, who never turns away, who spent years looking down that long, dusty road, hoping just to see his kid. Doesn't care if he's dirty and ragged, doesn't care if he's changed. Doesn't care. The son is hungry and tired and desperate, starts a well-rehearsed speech. I've sinned, I'm not worthy, and his dad says, shut up. It's all good. It's okay. Bring out a robe, bring out sandals, put a ring on his finger, no bare feet for my boy. Kill the fatted calf, we're going to have a party. Because the father had a different idea, a different perspective. He figured, of course his son could come home again. Beloved, welcome. There will always be pieces of where you've come from that are waiting to welcome you. Even though the walls have been repainted and the yard's been rearranged, there will be pieces of your religious journey that, while they don't quite fit anymore, their loss fills you with sadness and dismay or a sense of grieving. And maybe you're not even sure what the heck you're grieving for. When I heard Bjorn sing the Kol Nidre last week, my heart clenched. And just for a moment, I was home in a place I have not been in for a very long time. It is still my place, even if it no longer fits seamlessly into my beliefs, even if it's an odd little chunk. In that moment, I met my father on that dusty road and heard him order the fatted calf be killed and a robe be brought for me. Not as a slave, but returned and whole. That piece is still my piece. And I get to say how it fits. Maybe for you, the experience is a hymn with words you no longer believe, no longer match who you are. Maybe it's the idea of a communion service with actual wine and bread. Maybe it's the moment when the Torah scrolls are raised for Simchat Torah, or a pleading a nation to help you in moving the obstacles in your life. I don't care what the experience is. The prodigal son went home and didn't get in trouble. He didn't get put on probation. He didn't have to earn his way back. He got a party. As we move along our journeys, prodigal children leaving where we started in search of better truth, there is always a metaphorical home to return to. You have changed from who you were a year or 10 years or 30 years ago. Experience has molded you. But don't be afraid to reclaim and value pieces of home that look a little weird in your current situation. Because there was a third person in that story too, in that story of the prodigal son, the older brother, the one who never went anywhere physically. He worked hard, almost as hard as the slave his younger brother had wanted to offer himself as. He was good. He did what he was told. He never asked for anything, and he never got anything. For most of us, if we had remained where we began, never asking, never reaching out, never looking for something different, we would be the angry older brother standing in the field. Many of you may know how it feels to resent, to be angry about what you haven't gotten. Maybe at times you've worked and slaved and tried, only to have someone who quit and came back, burst onto the scene and get the party. It's not fair. Doesn't seem fair anyway. There will always be people in your life who stayed at home, who stayed with the religions you have left, who stayed with the belief systems you have moved from. Maybe they're your children, your parents, your friends. And maybe they get a little angry when you try to come back home. Maybe it doesn't feel right to them when you say, you know what, I still want this piece. But it's fair and you get that piece. The older brother chose to stay at home. He chose not to ask. He chose to ignore the importance of going out. He calls himself a slave and feels like he has no joy. And he doesn't realize the joy was there, he just had to ask. If other people in your life play the role of that older brother, confused and upset that you have gone to different places and are returning only for the things you truly need, remind yourself of this. Like him, they have made choices. And it's not your responsibility to make them happy with yours. You can't go home again. You can't go back to things exactly as they were. You can go back to the things that make you happy. If singing Amazing Grace reminds you of your grandfather, go ahead and sing it. Even if you do identify as a Buddhist these days, it's really okay. You get to not need the words. You get to feel the feeling. If you're an atheist who wants to wear a cross because feeling it makes you feel close to your mom, or you like the shape, you go right ahead. You can be a vegetarian who makes your auntie's bean and bacon casserole every year on your birthday. You can be a social justice, anti-fossil fuels activist who drives a 1950 Chevy because it matters to you. Only you get to say what pieces are true. Live the pieces which make you cry and the pieces that make you smile. Live the pieces that have value to you, regardless of the picture they make when you put them all together. It's okay. Welcome home.